Well, good morning. So today is a great day, isn't it? That's the attitude we need to have, yes. So today we actually come and finish the last of our series in the Psalms, which, you know, we spent all summer going through a psalm each and every weekend. And next week, in case you're wanting to read ahead, we're going to start the book of Jonah. So, you know, start reading in Jonah. It's a quick read, but we're going to start going through Jonah next week. So that's going to be an exciting time for us. But today we finish our psalm series with Psalm 139. And 139, I'm sorry, it is just an amazing psalm when you think of it. 136 is actually what we're looking at. I said 139, but it's 136. I don't even know where I'm at this morning, right? But it is an amazing psalm, and I encourage you to look at it and really pay attention to it today, because we're actually going to study it all the way through, all 26 verses. But this is an amazing psalm because it has one of the most famous phrases of all time in it. One of the most famous phrases from the Bible, and that is, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." It's a verse that many of us know, especially within the Lutheran world, because it's one that's key, it's famous. It was there in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 when King David actually brought up the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. They sang and praised God, and they thanked God, and they said this phrase, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his steadfast love endures forever." We find the same phrase in Psalm 100 as well, where it tells us to enter the gates with thanksgiving, for the Lord is good and his steadfast love endures forever. And we see it in other parts of the scriptures as well. It's a phrase that is used in several psalms and one that draws our attention to the idea that we need to actually be giving thanks to God for what he has done. It's highlighted in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 when the temple was actually created. The priest came out and proclaimed, "His steadfast love endures forever." And the glory of the Lord so filled the temple that the priest could not even minister there. That's how strong it was. And the word that we actually see in this whole text, when we look at this idea of steadfast love, or sometimes when you see it, it's called loving kindness in some versions, or unending love. It's the word chesed in Hebrew. And this word is an important word because it really talks about the love sort of that is endless, the steadfast love, or mercy, sometimes it's translated as. Chesed is the word, and it means rich, and it has such a huge history. It's talking about the undeserved goodness of God, love and mercy of God. And it's a word that is used quite a bit. Martin Luther actually phrased it this way. He took it totally as just one word, and he said, that word, chesed, actually means grace. It just means God is good and loving and merciful, and he's kind to us, even when we don't deserve it. Even when you and I don't deserve it, he still loves us. Chesed is goodness and grace. And Psalm 136, it's full of it throughout its whole scriptures, each and every verse. And in the days of the Old Testament, when this would actually be sung and sang and read, it would be done in a way where there would be a worship leader that would read the first part of each verse, and then the second part of the verse would be read by the congregation. And they would actually chime out with the words, "For his steadfast love endures forever," and they would say it loud and proud. It was a kind of responsive reading, and you know what? To read this today, we're going to do exactly that way. I will read the first, and you will respond with this red that you see on the screen. So give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone does great wonders. To him who by understanding made the heavens. To him who spread out the earth above the waters. To him who made the great lights. The sun to rule over the day. The moon and the stars to rule over the night. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt.
Steadfast love.
And brought Israel out from among them with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. To him who divided the Red Sea in two and made Israel pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the wilderness. To him who struck down great kings and killed mighty kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites. And Og, king of Bashan. And gave their land a heritage. A heritage to Israel, his servant. It is he who remembered us in our low estate and rescued us from our foes. He who gives food to all flesh. Give thanks to the God of heaven. That is how it was done. And as you do that, can't you just sort of get a sense of what this psalm is all about? It's all about being thankful for what God has done. I mean, the reason that this psalm gives, he gives us many reasons on why we actually should be thankful. But one of the key things that we look at here is this idea of giving thanks. The first few verses start with give thanks to God. And then for a while, that's not the way it starts. But then the last verse that you see there, verse 23, says what? Give thanks to the God of heaven. And really, it's inferred in each and every verse that give thanks could be the first thing that is said. It's inferred. So that every verse starts with this idea of giving thanks. And so today, as we focus on this, we're going to focus on what is it that God calls us to give thanks for. See, in the psalm, we can see that first, we give thanks for who he is. That's how the psalm starts. The reason that we give thanks for who he is, because we know that God is good. Everything that he does for us springs out of who he is. He does all these good things for us. Why? Because he is good, and he's always good. I mean, that's just who God is. It can be hard for us to imagine how good God is. Because we have nothing to reference it to in this world. You may be sitting next to the person that you say is a really good person, but are they always good? Be honest. Don't raise your hand. Okay? I mean, all of us try maybe at times to be good, right? But we never can live up to it. None of us are ever good all the time. But you know what? God is. God is good all the time, and there is nothing or anyone that compares to him. I mean, he is always good. God is always good. We've heard the phrase, and it was made famous in a movie, right? God is good all the time, God is good. I mean, that's so true. God is always good. And so we give thanks for who he is, for his goodness, his love, and his hesed, right? His unfailing love for us. We give thanks also for his creation. And how many of us take time to thank God for his creations? I mean, he made the heavens, he made the waters, he made the sun, the moon, and the stars. He made everything all around us, all as a gift of grace for you and I, because he knew we were going to live here. I mean, his loving kindness, his steadfast love endures forever. And so we could be so thankful for what we live in here in the Coachella Valley, right? Amen. I mean, don't we ever forget really how great this place is? I mean, you can just look around and see the beauty of God's creation all around us, this beauty that he has given us to live. When I drive on from Indio here to church, I think to myself, how beautiful it is. And I can't help but notice all the golf courses as well, right? And how beautiful that is. Even though I don't play them very much, I think it's beautiful. I mean, God's creation is amazing. As we look around and we see Joshua tree right nearby as well. I mean, God's creation is an amazing thing. And we can't help but say, God, thank you for what you've done. And you've placed us right here. And I know my friends in Wisconsin are jealous because the beach is not far away either, right? I mean, from this place here, we have the beauty all around us. But you have Big Bear you can get to very quickly and easily. In just a few hours, you're at the beach. I mean, thank God for the creation that he's given us, that we get to live here in this place. I mean, this is something that we need to give thanks for often. I hope every one of you appreciates God's creation. I know many of you do because on Facebook I see from time to time you posting pictures of places you've been and things that you see. And that's exactly the mindset we should have, is should we be thankful for everything that God has put around us in this great place that we live in, even when it's 121 degrees. Okay. Next is the redemption that he's given us, right? We can't forget about this. I mean, verses 10 through 15 of this psalm talks about the exodus from Israel, or for the Israelites from Egypt. I mean, he talks about the fact that to him who smote the Egyptians and the firstborn, the ones that brought out in the midst as well, with a strong hand and an outstretched arms he did this. He says, he, the one who divided the Red Sea as well, but also took care of Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea. See, all of that focuses on the Exodus and what a great thing God did by getting them out of that captivity. The Exodus was considered to be the great salvation event of the Old Testament. God told the people of Israel at that point that actually that was the time that he redeemed them, that truly they became his people was through the Exodus. That's when that happened. And this was the thought of when they were saved. See, you and I, too, we have a salvation event as well. Amen. It's not the Exodus. But we do have a salvation event. It's when Jesus was on the cross. Instead of a lamb that was sacrificed right during Passover before the Exodus, we have what 1 Peter calls this, the precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Our salvation event is Jesus' death on the cross for you and for me. That is our salvation event. Us washed clean of our sins because of the blood of Jesus. The one that gave us a relationship back with God. The one who knows because of his death and his resurrection that we have life and we have eternal life with him. And we are forgiven of our sins. I mean, if you're a Christian, there is nothing greater that you can give thanks for than believing in Jesus and knowing that Jesus paid it all for you. That is everything. But then to thank him not just for his forgiveness, but to thank him for the eternal life that you know you have with him as well. But we can't stop there because we have to thank him for our victories as well. I mean, verses 17 through 22 of our psalm focus on the victories that God has given to the people of Israel. All the kings that he had taken care of, all the things that he had provided for them. It lists number of kings there. But really, this says to us that we need to remember the victories that God has given to you and me, and that we need to thank him for them. I don't know about you, but I find it hard sometimes to thank him for victories. Because so many times I think the victories are mine and not his. We always give thanks for the victories, even when it involves work and effort on our part. Even the ability that we have, that comes from God. He gave us our very lives as well. He gives each of us skills and talents, and yes, we use those for the kingdom. But when victories happen, we praise God for the victory. not ourselves, because it is Him who provided that victory for us. I think about the things that many of us are looking for right now in terms of perseverance or stamina. And those are all gifts from God. We should give thanks for all of the victories in our lives, no matter how small they are or how large they are. Don't ever forget what God has done for you. Remember the good things that He's done this past year, or maybe in the years past, and celebrate those victories. But we also have to thank Him for our trials. Many of you probably didn't think I would put that up there today. But then, truly, we have to give thanks to God who, as it says in the scripture here today, verse 16, who led His people through the wilderness. See, some might say, well, I'll give thanks to God for getting me out of the wilderness, but I don't want to thank Him for carrying me through it. But Psalm 136 talks about this because he says that it's truly taking you through the wilderness. God led His people through the wilderness because He loved them. And of course, the answer is, does God carry us through wildernesses each and every day or through our lifetime? Yes, from time to time, each one of us will go through our own wilderness where we will feel lost, we will feel broken, and we'll feel like we're suffering from time to time. But God brings us through those for a specific reason, for a specific purpose, to sharpen us and to shape us. And so whatever it is that you may be facing in terms of your wilderness right now, God says that we are to thank Him for that and realize that it is a work that He is doing in us today. Augustine actually used to refer to olive trees quite a bit in his writings. And one of the things he actually did during this time was he actually wrote about the trials that he was going through were like an olive press. That's what you see on the screen, is an olive press where you had a huge major stone that was crushing the olives. And he referred to it this way because he said that our trials are like olive presses, because God presses us during those trials, those wildernesses that we go through, but that what comes out of it is the sweet oil. The good things in our lives and the character that it develops. And that, yes, maybe we get pressed at times because of the wilderness we're in, but in the end, there is a good thing that's going to come out of it, that God is doing a good work in that. And so we as Christians are called to give thanks in all circumstances, both good and rough times. Today we pray that God would lead us through any wilderness that we're in, knowing that He ultimately is in control, but ultimately that He cares for us as well. See, how many of us take time to know and give thanks for God caring for us? Psalm 136, it says, who remembers us in our lowest state? That God remembers us in our low estate. I mean, think about that just for a moment. You know, it's one thing to know that God did all of these things I've talked about for the people back in Israel in that day. It's another thing to think about this, that He did this for me. That He's doing all of this for me. That He's doing all of this for you as well. I mean, right here, right now, this is what He's saying. God actually says through David this. David, who remembered us in our low estate, he says, is saying that God saw us, God helped us, God did this for us, and He made it personal. I mean, all of these words that we've spoken through all of these Psalms is meant for you and for me. And of course, that's the key for salvation. It's not enough to believe in God. It's not enough to know that Jesus came into this world to die for sinners. It's not enough to believe that God so loved the world. I mean, the devil knew that, right? Amen. Demons knew that, we saw in Scripture as well. But you have to make it personal. Personal. You have to believe that He did all of this for you. You have to confess your sins as we did earlier today. You have to make him the Lord of your life. You have to make it personal. It's easy to sit and think all of this stuff happened and Jesus died on the cross and he did all of this for all of humanity, and that is perfectly true. But you make it personal by knowing that he did it for you. That no matter how low of a place you felt you were in, no matter how wrong you thought you were, no matter how broken you believe you are, that God looked at you and said, "You are my child and I love you. And I have done it all just for you." Isn't that an amazing thought? That God cares so much for you and I that he would give everything for that one that is lost. For you and for me. It helps us to know that God, yes, saved the world, but he did it to save you and I. So today we remember that God is there for us. By verse 1, it says it simply, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." So today it is with thanksgiving that we say to God, "Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us each and every day." That maybe some of the things I've mentioned here are just the tip of the iceberg for you. Maybe there are so many things that you can give thanks for today. And so today, as the worship team comes back and as they actually begin the last song today, what I encourage you to do is come forward to the rail and say thank you to God for those things you wish to say thanks for. And maybe it's today the fact that you just finally say, "You know what, Lord, I truly believe that you are my Lord and Savior, that you died on the cross for me. And because of that, today I know that I am your child because I have faith in you and all that you've done for me." It is in Jesus' name and to his glory. Amen.